On each of the 7 days, there is a, first of all, you remember when we studied the offering for the first fruit on the Feast of First Fruits, it had to come from a particular place and it was guarded. Well, they had another thing like this for the vineyard, a vineyard, and it was the sanctified wine for the drink offering. And it was from a particular vineyard in a particular place. It was guarded, it was grown in a specific way, even the pruning was done in a specific way. And this was the only wine that could be used for the drink offering. I mean, I could spend 3 days talking, or 30 days talking about the meaning of it, but there's something unique that happened in this Feast of Tabernacles that happened in no other time. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want us to read these psalms that were done. They're listed here. There's this particular psalm for each day of the 8 days of the feast. On the first 7 days of the feast, some wine from this particular place was poured into one side of the altar, and wine and water from the pool of Siloam was poured into the other side of the altar simultaneously, while these psalms were being sung. I mean, these were songs, you understand that? The moment the ceremony started, everybody went crazy. I mean, it was like they went into literally ecstasy. There's stories of, I think I've told you before, of there's one rabbi in particular who literally danced on his thumbs. The weight of his body in a particular way of movement, he was dancing on his thumbs. And that is that kind of ecstatic activity and that kind of, you know, strength, nobody can do that. You can't do that. But that kind of strength, that kind of ecstasy comes only from this, the understanding of the ceremony. And it became, I mean, it was like something that all of Israel looked eagerly for every year. The idea of it is that the intensity of the ecstasy increased every day until the eighth day. They were just out of it. Not from getting drunk, not from any thing in particular, except the understanding of what happened when the wine and the water were poured into the altar. Now, on the first 7 days, as I said, wine was poured on one side, water was poured on the other side. On the eighth day, only wine was poured. You know, on the 7 days, all of that, the weird number of bullocks, and then on the eighth day, only one. A bull. A big bull. Big bull without spot or blemish.
An intact bull.
So, I don't know that I can, I mean, you gotta remember, they did this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. And as it was developed, and we've lost all of the mystery, we've lost the meaning. And so it's been very difficult to go back and search out these old, old books of the Midrash and the Talmud, trying to reconstruct all of the stuff that you see here. I mean, I didn't read this in a book. I love it when people come to me and say, so, can you give me a reference book for what you teach? I had bunches of people. I said, how about the Bible?
How about the Bible? Problem is people like rubbish.
So anyway, okay, so we're going to read Psalm 105. But here's, it's critical for each, before you guys leave, it's critical, I would beg of you that before tomorrow night you read the book of Ecclesiastes. Each of you. Okay? All right, each person reads 7 verses as we go down. This is the first, on Psalm 105, again, you understand water is symbolic, wine is symbolic always of the bride, of Israel. of Israel, the perfected wine. Water is symbolic of what has the potential of becoming wine. But it has to be in the right place, the right time, through the right branch, going up the vine and the branches, at the right time of the year, being sucked into a little grape. The grape has to succeed. The grape has to go through the process. It can't go out, you know, all and all and all and all. The same thing for wheat when we said we are broken bread and poured out wine. So don't ever, 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 ever consider what we are about lightly. And the evidence that you're considering what we are about lightly is if you consider something else important. And that marriage feast in Canaan happened at this feast. I believe it happened in the eighth day of the feast. But that's another story. Okay? So now, on the first day of the feast, the excitement is growing because, again, for thousands of years in their culture, they sing these psalms. And I can imagine what the music, we've lost the music. It's gone forever. But you can imagine what the music must have been when literally musicians without number are playing on harps and guitar, the themes, the 10-stringed instruments, on lutes, on cymbals. So
I don't know what it was, but something. Just not sure. Sherry said, or Christ touches the water and changes it to wine. What I heard in here was, that's the only way wine is made. It's not or.
That's right. That's why that's the first miracle he did.
It's the only way wine can be made. How many seven?
Psalm 107, seven verses. I mean, 105, seven verses.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
His judgments are in all the earth. I mean, you understand, can you feel, if you're in this position and you're singing this and you're singing it with understanding. Now, one of the interesting things that has been the fruit of all of the study that we've done is we know when each one of the scriptures was read for what purpose. Now, these psalms were read only on these occasions. Were sung only on these occasions. Amen. Okay.
He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yet he reproved kings for their sakes.
Amen.
Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm.
The word touch there, by the way, means kill not, or it doesn't mean don't investigate them.
It means don't put a light on them.
Touch not my anointed, and do my holy prophets no harm.
I'm the apple of God's eye.
Anybody who messes me sticks his finger
in the eye of God.
Alright.
More we call for a famine upon the land. You break the host that.
Okay, now, all of these ancients believe that famine that he called on all the land is now, I mean, there was other famines he called on the land, but now the famine on all the land is what's called the famine of Messiah. And that's what we're in. There's a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word of God.
You know, we sort of talked about this a little bit last night, about this famine, because I was just sitting here thinking, you know, you just said Psalm 105 was read at this point in the year, this point in the feast, in the temple, when this happened and these guys did this, right? So if you're an Israelite, the time you're going to hear this is that time, in that place, in that condition, not when you go into your room and get your little book off the shelf and read it in between TV shows.
Right. No, it's an off. I mean, forgive me for sounding. I don't like to talk about myself. Anyway, no, I can't get it.
He's automatically quoting. It's like right.
No, but it. I can't. I mean, it's literally taken 22 years of study to dig this stuff out. So
it's like that's what I'm trying to say. Every motel room has a little book with these words in it.
No, they don't. You stole most of
them.
But anybody who wants to at any time can go to this, but it's in a time when nobody hears it. Then it was exactly the opposite, and the only way you could hear it was to be in that place at that time,
right,
in that condition.
Right. Who's reading?
Oh, yeah.
We are Psalm 105 at verse something.
16.
17. You understand, he was talking, Joseph was the perfect type of Christ. He was sold. Okay.
His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance.
He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word.
Okay, now, what I pray that each of you slowly but surely sees and understand is each one of these stories in the Bible, and each one they're relating through here, is another expansion on the tale of the mystery of Christ. But it does you no good to understand. I mean, that's a biggie to understand, but it does you no good to understand that unless you understand that is what you are going through. You are on the same journey. And so that's the way that this word becomes life, is when you can see that it's happening now to Christ in you. Okay? So.
Yeah. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake and there came diver swords, the flies, and mice in all the coast. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came, and the caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground.
Okay. Laura?
He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when he departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant.
Go ahead and finish the three.
And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep their laws. Praise ye the Lord.
Okay, that's the psalm that was sung on the first day of the feast during this water ceremony. So we got water and wine. Now, the part of the meaning is, as long as the water is poured into the altar, it's sanctified by the altar. So even if you're in a state of rebellion, even if you're all screwed up, even if everything is wrong, during the 7 days of the feast, it has the same weight as the wine. You understand? You don't have to worry about it. There's no condition that you can be in during the 7 days which isn't sanctified by the altar. So you have all of these days. All that's necessary for the water to become wine is for the water to forget about itself. You got that a little bit? That's why he will perfect that which concerneth you. He will it and do it in you. But he won't fight your efforts. If he fought your efforts, then all he could do was to make you like an angel, a robot, an automaton. God doesn't want that because you can't have fellowship with that. He wants you to know what he wants because you found out what everything else isn't. Now this radical stuff. Religion teaches you you please God by following rules. Or half rules. We're going to see this story expanded now as we read these psalms. And remember, they are read only at this time, only in this place, only for this purpose. Water going in, wine going in. The wine represents all the part of the body that went before us, from Abel on. We are the water being poured in. Now that's why there was such huge rejoicing. Because first of all, what they'd done, they just had the kol nidre, they burned all their vows.
It just struck me as well when we sit here reading at the end, at Tabernacles, on the first day of the feast, to be reading a psalm about Passover. And to remember that you said that Passover and Tabernacles, it's tied together. The three feasts are tied together.
Today is Passover. Today is Tabernacles.
As well.
You understand that a little bit? Psalm 29. Next day, day two. Psalm 29.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty.
Now hear me. The other part of this is the 7 days represent the 7 days of linear time. So it's from the beginning. So you have to see another thing here too. That the 7 days of the feast represent all of time. And then the eighth day is eternity.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the heavenly holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters.
And they're watching the water being poured in, and they understand what it means. And they understand that all of the tribulation and turmoil they've had in their life has been the Lord upon the waters. Doing it. He has done all things. All things are working together for good.
Like the beginning.
But backwards now, right? It was always before the water was the masses. Right?
That's what he's doing. He's pouring the map. People and
oh, okay.
People into the altar along with Israel's.
So when you said pouring us, you meant like us. Everybody else.
Everybody else.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to speak like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple that everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king over ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
The flood, what?
Psalm 50. Listen now, day 3.
The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. The fire shall devour him, that fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous.
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 Okay. Can you remember? Our God is a consuming fire, and in the some of the Apocrypha, it says of Christ and his ministers, he says, well, first of all, in the scripture, it says he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And it says, he who is near him is near to the fire. So that whole mystery of what is going to set the universe on fire, it's preaching.
I keep thinking about this previous one, where it says the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. I keep thinking about the night you talked about the flood and how for eons it was like everything was void. What was it, tohu and vohu, or whatever it is, void?
Tohu abohu.
But then the Spirit moves on the water. It's like the water is nothing until it's poured on in the altar. Or it's like man is nothing until God speaks, until the Spirit moves. It's just void, emptiness.
Amen.
But then God speaks, and everything is forever changed.
Amen. As long as you're here.
Yeah.
That's far-fetched. Life itself is called out of the water. Even the very life itself. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
Where are you?
Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God has judged himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee.
Now we start. Now everybody's all happy. Now we're starting about, wait a minute. Now we're going to see a bunch of psalms here in the middle in which God is just smacking Israel upside the head. But still, the wine is being poured with the water. So even when Israel sees how screwed up they are, they know they're covered. If they repent, the same is true with you. Okay.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goes out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls.
Wait, you're going over, you're stepping on your stuff. That's 7, isn't it?
No, I started at 4. 4 plus 7.
Huh?
I know all.
You got one more.
One more. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine.
Okay, what he's just said there is, all your sacrifices are just stupid if you believe in them, if you don't see what they mean.
All the stuff's already mine anyway.
All the stuff's mine already. Are you building me a house? You build me a temple? That's kind of crazy.
You're going to give me a tithe?
You're going to give me something? I own all things. You're going to offer offerings up? I own all the things. What are you talking about? And he's reproving them for not seeing the parable. But everything is a parable. So you take, or you literalize no parable. Because if you literalize one, then you will slowly literalize all. And to literalize a parable is to put God's name on idolatry.
if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of thy trouble.
By the way, the vow isn't you promising to give Tilton $1,000. The vow is the peace offering. We ever stated that in here?
The peace offering has to do with actual consumption.
Fellowship, peace.
That's the one that's voluntary, right?
Right. And it's a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Not a good thing to bastardize.
It's not a good thing to bastardize.
And call upon me in the day of thy trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Thou shalt glorify me. Do you believe that's in the Bible?
You have a Bible?
You have a Bible?
Look at
it. Okay, keep going.
But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statute?
What are you doing talking about God stuff, you dumb quarter?
Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentedst.
I'm sorry.
And hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit.
Okay. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Now what it says there is, thou givest thy mouth only to evil, and thy tongue framest only deceit. That's why it says forsake. In the King James it says, forsake thy evil thoughts and thy evil ways. In Hebrew it says, forsake thy thoughts and thy ways, for they are evil. All of your thoughts and all of your ways.
You can see why some of the people took vows of silence. Because when you start to see, it's like everything comes out.
Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Who is thy mother? This is thy mother. Jerusalem above is thy mother, and we're just a type of it. These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. See now, what God is doing with this psalm is he's saying he's going to get repentance deeper. He's going to let the deep speak to the deep here. So we're moving deeper into this mystery of repentance, into the mystery of the wine. I love that. Mystery of the wine. These things thou hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. God's about 6'2". His hand span is 9 inches. That's about 9 inches. He lives on another planet.
Olive complexion.
All these idiots. Several. Who?
Several, I
see. Oh, yeah, several. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether set for one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God.
Is that last part about getting it right?
No. His way of life.
Yeah.
When it says conversation in the conversation in King James times meant your way of life or your walk. So, whose walk are we walking in? Only Christ's. That's why we abandon ourselves. You are not your own business. Think of the freedom of that. You're not your own business. All right. Day four. Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 1 through 11. Jackie.
O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself.
Ha ha! Okay, now, about the middle of the trip, you're getting kind of where he said, I want it over. Show thyself, arise.
Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage.
Let's stop a minute. You understand, the scriptures say that Paul spoke hard sayings and things difficult to understand. And here it says the proud speak hard sayings. What's the difference? There's two different words. Obviously, one's Hebrew, one's Greek. But this, in Hebrew, the word that's translated hard sayings here means willful or out of their own will.
As opposed to things that cut through the bowl and make you see your own offense.
Okay.
They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity.
Okay. Tell me a thought. Contend with me. See, I was hoping that there would be all kinds of people to contend with me up at this conference.
And they be?
They didn't.
Did they agree with you, or did they just ignore it?
A lot of them were agreed, totally.
Wow, cool.
Who? Okay, it's your turn.
Oh, what now?
This is day five. It's Psalm 94, verse 12 through verse 23. Same psalm, which indicates that more than likely at the time of Christ, these were two different psalms.
Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity.
Amen.
Until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Okay, day six.
So what are they doing during these days that I don't understand? The first day they're...
Well, there's a jillion things that's happening. We're just studying one of them. We're studying the fact that on the 7 days, it's the only time it's ever done, water from the pool of Siloam is poured into one side of the altar while the songs that we're singing are being sung. And the heathen people, or the people that were in rebellion, the wine represented the true Israel. So all the 7 days, even if you'd screwed up and done wrong and done everything, you knew that the wine and the water were being poured into together, and the fact that it touched the altar sanctified it. But on the eighth day, only wine was poured in. So that's why it's critical that repentance take place. Totally turning from self. before the beginning of the eighth day. And it's too late. That's why there'll be a symbolic locking of the gate on Saturday night. Day six. Psalm 81.
Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto God. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. Then he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. They caused in trouble, and I delivered them. I answered them in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah.
Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God.
Okay. This is critical. God says in Isaiah that he will reveal himself to you when there is no strange God in you. So again, performance. I gotta go searching for all these strange gods and I gotta do stuff. Here it says, if you will hearken unto me, there shall be no strange God in you. Neither shall thou worship any strange God. Now, does anybody remember when this psalm was read on another occasion? And you can see why. Does anybody remember when it's read?
Rosh Hashanah.
50 points right there. Okay?
I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Upon thy mouth.
Open.
It's contagious.
We're one flesh.
And I will fill it, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me.
So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel.
Now that's your worst nightmare. It says elsewhere in Isaiah that he gave them over to the imaginations of their own heart.
All that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee.
Amen. Again, we got one more day seven. Last time to repent. Last time to turn from self. The last time ever that water will be poured simultaneously into the altar along with the wine. Just think about it. They understood.
I'll sit here and still read verse 7 of this thing. I don't know why, but it just really touches me. But the idea that God would say, I tested you in the waters
of bitterness. Amen.
Consider this.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, I mean, the
suffering.
There's a line somewhere that I saw. I spent, was it six days with at Bloom's apartment?
No.
Yeah, it was.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 5 days.
5 days. Anyway, I watched some Joe Bob movies because, I mean, you can't believe his apartment. Anyway, that's another story. And in one of them, there was this thing that happened where there was a debate or something, I can't remember the details, about what was the treasure of God. What was treasure? And this line came out that the treasure of God, the only treasure of God that we could see, was the pain and suffering in the world.
just blew me away.
I've not until right this moment understood. Every time you said, look at this, and we've read the scripture that says the trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold. I have never understood that. But that's what this is.
Amen.
It's the suffering. It's the fellowship of the suffering that is precious.
Amen.
Because what happens in the second half of this psalm is he talks about the people that reject the suffering and try to escape the suffering and follow after their own lusts. And he's saying, you should have lived forever. You should have eaten the honey, but you would not because you escaped the suffering.
Right. And it's just, you think that suffering is strange.
Yeah. The idea that he would say, you called to me when you were in trouble, and I answered you. And that's how I tested you. Do you know that?
Day 7. Last day to repent. Last day, last time to turn from self. Last time before the gate is locked.
That's Trayton Clark.
Time is about to be over.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept that the persons of the wicked see them? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked.
Hallelujah.
They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations.
Arise now, O God, judge the earth. You've had it. You could have been, you had every opportunity. You've heard the mystery, you know it. You have been as gods, but you shall die like men. Last opportunity to repent.
You kind of like start reading after, you know, I've said you are gods and all of you children of the Most High. You might start reading there, you know.
You give you a whole new theology there. Kenneth Copeland theology. Now, day 8. Time is no more. It's not that you're going to live forever. There's no time. I mean, do you understand that? Can you get forever out of your thinking it's going to be far in the future? Forever is the vanishing point. It's olam. It's the point in which there is no time. It's the point in which all time is the same point. And the only way you'll understand the scriptures is to understand that concept. That all men died on the cross. Now, Psalm day 8, Psalm 12.
Yes, Lord,
wait a minute.
Pretty cool that, you know, in that one says, but you shall die like men. It's like he's, you know, saying that to Christ. You shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Amen. Now we only see, in the day 8, it's like, there can't be anything in the universe to express day 8. You understand that? You can't get there from here. There is no ecstasy that can describe it. There are no words that can portray it properly. There are no ways that you can communicate it. On rare occasions, you can experience. I mean, I think I've told you that I've visited that place on a number of occasions. There's no words. There are nothing. There's no feelings. There's no mind. There's no emotions. There's nothing that can get there. So the best we can do, in fact, the closest thing we have to it is the orgasm. And that sounds blasphemous, but it's true. Now, So all that this psalm can do is talk about what is really has just occurred. So listen to it. And this is now only wine going into the altar now.
Now, Lord, the godly man sees it, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who has said, well, our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in the safety of him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side,
every time I read this, just like something in me explodes. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. Anyway, there's a whole lot more that we could study about the drink offering, and but I just wanted you the idea that this was this unique ceremony that was done only at this time. And only with those readings, I thought was important. Any? Don't sweat the small stuff.
You were talking about literalizing parables. I've been watching a lot of news in the last 24 hours on these people that died. They don't know whether they killed themselves now or whether they were murdered. The idea of literalizing parables.
Yeah, and that's to the ultimate end.
It's just incredible. Tonight they showed footage inside their temple and altar and all that stuff. And in the center, it's all mirrors. All the way around, it's all mirrors.
How appropriate.
How appropriate. And in the center of all the mirrors, on the floor, is a pentagram. Just give me a break. Because I can see that that's the inside of my head. Just,
all right, the other thing is, tomorrow night, we meet here at 7 p.m. And it's important to study this and to read the memo and like we go over it with Burnett. But the idea that we're taking this pomegranate, which was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, originally the pomegranate had 613 seeds in it, which indicated the law. And then we have, now it's all bastardized because, you know, so we got your own little ideas of right and wrong. But we need to take that pomegranate and we throw it, we toss it at the base of the altar.
Some of us
and smash it. So that we destroy our ideas of good and evil, right and wrong, so that we can live in that moment of dependence as a small child. That's faith. We take the leaves, each one of us, watch the burp. We can see, if you haven't seen it yet, the booth will slowly dies, and each leaf falls off. And each one of those leaves are some plan or ambition or idea that you've had, just falling to the ground and dying. And we voluntarily participate in the process by taking a branch and burning it in the fire of Olam, or the fire of eternity. And as we do that symbolically, then we participate with more than just the sense of hearing, we participate in it, and we involve all of our senses in the process, and prayerfully that'll cause us to understand. Amen? Let's make this the tabernacles that ends time.